Just going to share a few thoughts on Psalm 91. So if you've got a Bible, just want to quickly turn there. Psalm 91. We've been singing about God's unfailing love. Unfailing love. Our love might fail, but His will never fail. And so I'm just going to read Psalm 91 to you and just share a few thoughts on it. It says this: He who dwells, are we echoing like mad out there, or is it just on here? Got a lot of feedback up here. So it says this, verse 1, it says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is a cracking verse, which many people claim and they stand on it. But there's three main verses within this chapter that actually point out the secret of those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High. So it continues, verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. He will cover me, He will cover you with the wings, with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. By the way, God doesn't have wings and He ain't got feathers. It's a metaphor, it's a picture of God just covering us with His blessings, but also in the protection. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. It's interesting that our faithfulness, really, we come and go. It's we blow like the wind sometimes, but God's faithfulness never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love stands, and He always stands, and He's always faithful. In fact, God's more faithful to His word than anything else. When He spoke it, He means it. There's many gods around, or so-called gods, but often they seem to change their minds and change this and change that. But Jesus, the word of God stands and it stands forever. Everything else will pass away, but God's word will still be standing there at the end. So verse 5 continues, You will not fear when terror comes by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. This is an interesting psalm. He's talking about pestilence, he's talking about war. But for us, there's diseases that we're always told. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but whenever you turn on the news, there's always some great plague coming our way. There's always some disease. I mean, I don't know how many texts I've got from a doctor saying you need to get your flu jab. I've never had flu. I don't know why they're saying I need one, but I don't need one, so I'm not having one. But they're constant. There's almost this projection of fear being put upon people when God wants us to live in faith and in courage, and yet everything that's around us seems to be negativity and fear seems to become. You watch the news and it's fear, fear, fear. You watch what's going on. Many years ago, Joe and I had the privilege of going to Israel, and we're in Israel having a great time, and we flick on the news, and there's riots in Bradford going on. And we think, well, that's pretty cool. We try going to Bethlehem, but they said, you can't go there because it's a war zone, there's tanks. But we couldn't really see anything or hear anything. And our guide that took us around Jerusalem, he actually admitted at the end he had a gun in his holster. And we thought, that's pretty cool, we're all right. When we got home, on the news, there'd been wars, bullets and bombs going off in Israel, and Joe's mum were panicking. Well, we were there, but nothing happening. And yet we heard all the news in Bradford, and we said, what's been going on in Bradford? And people's going, Bradford? There's been a little bit going on. So the news is projected upon us, negativity, the worst scenario. And yet God's word wants us to get true to Him so that we can have an intimate relationship with Him, but we can't be taking on the negativity of the word, the world, and then trying to take on what the word says into our lives. Because you can only listen to one source. I don't know about you, but you can, if you type in people's names and you look on the internet, there's a load of good and there's a load of rubbish about them. You put a preacher in, the loads of stuff comes up and you don't know who to believe. Sometimes you just got to just listen yourself and make up your own mind. But the writer is saying that pestilence might come, but it won't affect us. If we trust in God, it won't affect us. The terror that comes by night, I don't know if you spent times in terror through the night, but it doesn't have to affect us. It may have external circumstances, but internally we can have peace that surpasses everything else. It continues. No plague will destroy you by midday. I just stood, you know, when they kept telling us at one point, flu's coming. Asian flu. I actually stood on this and went, it says here that, you know, no pestilence, the fowler's snare. Well, fowls to me is birds, so the snare of a fowl is not going to get me. We're all right. And the pestilence, you know, when people say, oh, don't come near me, I've got this. I say, I can come near you because I don't get it. Yeah. And people say, you've been a bit arrogant. No, I'm trying to trust in the word of God. And saying, when bugs jump on me, they die. And I will not fear the terror by night, and it won't consume me, the pestilence that stalks you in the darkness, not the plague that destroys by night. And then it says this, 10,000 may fall at your right side, sorry, 1,000 at your right side, and, well, I'll get this right, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. You will be the only one observing it with your eyes, and you will see the punishment of wicked. I love that verse because it always reminds me that if you're on your own in that workplace, in that situation, no matter what's going on in your, you might be the only Christian that's in that place at that time, but you and God is the majority. I heard somebody correct that recently and said, God is the majority, you've just picked the best side. He's the majority regardless whether you're on his side or not, but he's the majority. And I look at this verse and it always reminds me of that scene from, I think it's one of the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. Right at the end, there's been a war going on and the enemy's fleeing and they're all on the horses, got the swords and they've got all the armour on and they're all marching along and they come to a bridge and on the other side of this bridge is Lucy with a knife. And she stands there with the knife and at side of her is a lion. It's a lion. How many of us stand on our own sometimes in our workplaces and in other places where we think we're on our own and we start crying out to God and God's going, I've given you a sword and I've stood you there for a reason and I'm right there at side of you. The lion is standing right next to his name is Jesus. And Lucy stands there bravely as a young person with her sword, with her knife actually, almost saying, come on. Because she knows there's somebody standing next to her. We can stand, we can dwell in the shelter of the Most High and rest in the presence of the Almighty, the shadow of the Almighty, because the Lion of Judah is with us. He will stand with you wherever you go. I mean, I'll say that, I'll clarify. If you walk into stupid places, then it's like you get what you sow what you reap. You reap what you sow. If you're going to go into stupid places, God's going to go, you know what? You're on your own, mate, to a point. But when you're walking in the things of God, when you've made your dwelling place, when you've made the shelter of the Most High, the place of security, then the Lion of Judah is standing right there. It continues. This is the second one. If you make, so we start off, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Most High, we've got all those blessings. And it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, so it's not saying now, you know, he who dwells there, but it's taking it a step further. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, it's making a conscious decision. I'm not going to just stay in the shadows. I'm going to make him my dwelling. You see, I've always wondered about when David says, I'd rather spend one day in your presence than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the temple than spend 1,000 days there. And we read that and think it's a nice verse, but really what he's saying is in the battlefield and he's longing for the presence of God, the place of God. He would rather stand as a welcomer in a place of worship than spend 1,000 days having the pleasures of man. That's what it's really saying. And pleasures for man is a big thing. But he said, I would rather stand at the distance just welcoming people in where I might be able to just hear the presence of God, not right at the front. He said, I would rather spend one day in his presence than 1,000 anywhere else. But he who makes the Most High his dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, David, or whoever the writer is saying, make the Lord your dwelling. You know, we always try, and we're talking with kids this afternoon, and we're trying to, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So we're trying to explain that. But how many Christians try doing it their own way, mess up, then come back to God? But then in time, try doing it their own way again, and then mess up, and then they come back to God. And it don't dawn on them. It's called insanity. Trying to do things your own way, messing it up, thinking, oh, I better go back to God now. I once put something on Facebook saying, when you've tried, try again, Something like, he says, stop keeping on trying and do what the pastor told you to do the first time. You know, people say, I don't need your advice, I'm just going to do it. Well, actually, my advice might be flawed, but the word of God isn't. And God's true. So he who makes the most high his dwelling, even the Lord his refuge, then no harm will fall upon him. No disaster will come near his tent. I love David's, well, the writer's optimism here, but the fact is things do come our way, but it doesn't have to affect us. Things will be thrown at us, but you can have peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding. How many people know there can be a storm raging, and some people in the storm stand and look at it and say, fine. I mean, I've mentioned this before, I love flying, but I love it when it starts bouncing around. I love looking out the window when you can see storms below you. I mean, we flew back from America years ago, and I'm looking out of the window, and I'm telling Joe, I'm giving her a running commentary about how I can see lightning below us and lightning above us. It's amazing. This is awesome. But the entire plane's gone silent, and people are ripping the seats apart like, ah. And I'm going, look at God, this is amazing. Look at God's creation. And she's like, nudging me, shh. But I know God's got a promise on my life. I know if that plane went down, I would survive anyway, because God had got a promise on my life. So I knew as long as they're with me, we're going to get there. That's not arrogance. It's just that I knew God had said to me a few things, and I'm going to go there. And I love it. I've been in boats on seas when they've been rotting around. I love it. It's like a storm. I get worried when I've no more promises from God. Then I stop rock climbing, stop doing all those silly things, get a promise from God, and say, I'm okay now. Let's just go for it. Because God, me with God, he's awesome. And Joe often reminds me that God can still use me in a wheelchair. But truth is, God's got promise on my life, and it ain't sitting in a wheelchair. Yeah, okay, let's carry on. But this is it. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and he will lift you up in his hands so that even you will not strike your foot against the rock. I know Jesus quotes that one. You will tread on the lions and the cobra, and you will trample down the great lion and the serpent. Now, verse 14 is an amazing verse. All then promises is for the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, for the one who makes the Most High his dwelling. But this is God's response to that person. So if you're that person who decides, I'm going to spend time with God, I'm going to give myself over to God, I'm going to stay in the presence of God, this is God's response to you tonight. He says, because he loves me, or because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And he who calls upon me, and I will answer him. I mean, that's amazing. This is Old Testament, but it's saying, because we love God, and God sees our love for him, he will rescue us, he will protect us. And because we acknowledge his name, his name's Jesus, he will call upon me, and God says, I will answer him. Guys, you want God to answer you swiftly. You want God to answer you in your prayers. You want God, when you call out, to answer you. Then you need to acknowledge his name. You need to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is, God continues, I will be with him in trouble. Amen. Even when trouble does come, God says, I'll be with him. See, we often say, God will never leave us or forsake us. I know that. He's sealed us, he's inside us, he's there. But how about the fact that he is there constantly, but we don't always acknowledge he's there? But God has promised us that I will be with you in times of trouble. And then he says, I will deliver him and honor him. You know, those people at work that's having a go at you, just trust God. Because God will deliver you from that situation. And not only that, he'll honor you. He'll raise you up. When people try to put you down, God says, let them carry on. Because I'm going to raise you up. I'll deliver you from that. And I'm going to honor you. And it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. God's response to the person who says, I'm going to dwell in God's presence, in his shadow. I'm going to make the Most High my dwelling. God says, because he loves me, I will rescue him and I will protect him, for he has acknowledged my name. And when he calls upon me, I will answer him. Guys, you don't have to wait to meet the vicar, the pastor, the priest, or anybody else. You can call upon the name of the Lord. You can call, and he says, I will answer you. Be ready, though, because what he answers, you might not always what you want. You know, sometimes you ask your wife if you've done well, and she looks at you, and you want her to lie, because you know she's going to be honest. Sometimes God will actually, he's straight and honest back to us, because he knows what's best for us. God wants us to make him our dwelling place. He wants us to put ourselves right in the centre, the bullseye of his plan and his will for our lives. He doesn't want us flitting around and flirting around. He wants us being central to him. And yes, trouble may come, but it won't overtake you. Problems may arise, but God will always deliver us from them. We've tried it so long on our own, it's about time we acknowledged him and said, I'm just going to stay in the centre. I always know when I'm at the centre of God's will for my life, because there's no confusion. I'm quite sharp in my mind. God has promised not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. I know when I'm in the bullseye of God's plan for my life, it's not that things go easy. It's just that inside I've got a peace and a courage to continue. And he will deliver us from all our troubles, and he will deliver us and honour us. And he will give us long life. The word long life there doesn't mean he's going to give us an extended of years. See, I don't want to spend the last 10 years of my life dribbling in an old people's home. When it says he's going to give us long life and satisfy us, that means he's going to give us long life as in alert life. Present life. You know, you might only live 50 years, but you can, you know, but some people only live a short time but do more in their life than somebody who lives 100 years. But some people waste their life so much. This is talking about, I'm going to give you a life, but in a productive life, a life that achieves something. You see, I don't mind how long I live. I keep saying I'm going to live till I'm 105, but I want my years to count for something. And it's also my prayer, but I want my death to count for something as well. That's scary, isn't it? But I want it to count for something. I want an intimate relationship with God, that it counts for something, a legacy. That when time's gone, they're not remembering the fact that how great things were. I want to be like, it really confuses me. I wonder if John Wesley knew that he was John Wesley. I just wonder, because, or Smith Wigglesworth, did he realise he was Smith Wigglesworth? Or George Jeffries, or something like that. They didn't know. It's only afterwards that it counts. But in Psalm 91, he says that he who dwells in the shelter of Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Almighty, and it lists a load of blessings. And then it says, he who makes the Most High his dwelling, even though the Lord, who is my refuge. And then there's a load of blessings. But then God says, and it's always good when God says, isn't it? It's always good. I will rescue him. I'll be with him because he acknowledges my name. And I will call upon it. He will call upon me and I will answer him. Amen. Amen. See, we've been in the presence of God tonight. We've touched heaven in a sense. Our heaven's come down. But it's easy to walk away from that and think that we're good. I've had my tickly feeling for tonight. God wants us to daily walk in that. See, God knows what this week ahead of us has in plan, what's there for us. And he wants us to rest in him before we go out. See, many people spend all week working and then go, I've got to rest. That's not the way God designed it. God says, rest first in my presence, then you can work. God created him and says, have a day off. I mean, imagine going to get a new job and you turn up and say, great, thanks for coming, have a day off. It doesn't happen. But God says, rest in me and I will give you the energy. I'll give you what you need for the coming week. When you think you can't carry on, God says, just rest in me. One of the reasons is that people are often doing other things. I have to smile. Sometimes people tell me, you know, say, John, I'm really tired, I'm exhausted. And they forget that I'm actually on Facebook. Somebody said to me recently, I'm really tired. And I looked at them And I'm looking at their Facebook feed. And at 2 a.m., you know, 10 past 2, I'm not looking at that time. But the next morning, it tells me what time they put it on. You know, no wonder they're tired. They're still up at 10 past 2. If you're up at that time, spend time in the Word and prayer. But spend time in the presence of God, and He will bring you alive on the inside. The Bible says that, you know, we should, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Guys, if you're tired, then wait upon the Lord. The world will tell us that's unproductive. The world tells us that praying's pointless. There's even some Christians encourage you that way, ain't there? Why bother? I'd say keep going. Just keep going. Guys, I don't know where everybody stands tonight, and I don't know which position you're in, whether you're fully embraced into the into God. Andy brought that thing about people kissing. There's an intimacy. Jesus says, you know, that we're going to know Him, and that's a real intimately knowing. Yet some people might be just on the fringe. Some people might be like the disciples. Some were very close and some were slightly at a distance. Guys, let me encourage you, wherever you stand with God tonight, make it a determination to press into His presence. The problem's not on His side, it's on our side. Because I've learned this, that when you press into the things of God, the first thing He does, He talks to you about issues. He talks to you about things you need to dump, get rid of. And it's not because it's not doing us any good. And it might not be wrong. It's just that it's offensive to Him. It's as bad as getting married but having a picture of your old girlfriend in your pocket. It kind of undermines the whole thing. God's a jealous God and He wants you for Him. Every one of us. I used to say God's favourite's me. He's got a picture of me in His wallet. But He's got a picture of you as well. You're His favourite as well. But He wants His favourites to come close to Him, to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Amen.